So I've also got Yo Mendy, Jiminian.
Hendy.
Yeah,
Oh,
I apologize to all of the Dominican Republic and Venezuela and Colombia for the butchering of your name. I mean, for like the first three picks alone, innings pitched from them, you've got 1,872.2 worth of experience from Mr. Pimental, Mr. Gomez, and Mr. Him. You know who he is. Yeah, you picked him.
You're listening to the British Baseball Podcast.
Hello, baseball fans. Matthew here with another episode of the British Baseball Podcast. Got a treat for you today. We've got another photo with the British Knights. The international section of the draft has now been completed and contracts have been signed. So we've got some updated information from Kevin Mahoney and Craig Savage on the team. What's been happening since last time we spoke with league news, with the European Super League of Professional Baseball, and also what the Knights roster is now looking like and how it's shaping up. Some exciting chat about some of the position players that they've got on there, and quite a lot of talk as well about the draft itself. It's a great insight into how the new franchise has been built and what we can expect and look forward to. So I hope you enjoy this one. Let us know in the comments what you think, and I'll chat to you all soon.
Yeah, there's still a lot of work to be done until first pitch.
Cool. Sounds exciting for the people that are not involved, but sounds about, well, what would you rather be doing, Kevin? Moving house like Craig, or would you rather be doing all the paperwork you talked about?
I think Kevin would say he'd rather be moving the house.
I'll do both. I don't care.
It's been interesting. The paperwork's been interesting. Because some players have agents, some players don't. So dealing with agents, I mean, you know, we had one situation today where that's proven to be a little difficult. And it seems like the player potentially has lost out, Kevin. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, that is fair to say. I think he was trying to take advantage of an opportunity despite already working.
Yeah.
It's a polite way of putting it.
Yeah, it's just the little idiosyncrasies that, you know, have to be addressed, of course.
Yes, and I will be more than happy to take care of it, as you saw, Craig.
I have to say,
I ought to be a fly on the wall on that one.
No, you don't. Not on that one. But yeah, we got some information we can share, and then we can talk all day long about this draft and everything that we did as a group and as our organization and our club did it. I can't speak for anybody else. Mm-hmm. I don't know what their process was, but our process was, I thought it was fun. It was really cool to be able to do what we did and have the structure in which we did it with. And, I mean, we had information flying around and we had discussions, and it was a lot of fun.
It was interesting how it sort of played out on the night. And I know you've got some questions, Matt, that you want to run through for people, but you know, just the way that we were as a staff, we were set up, you know, we had, I thought, as Kevin said, we all had it pretty organized, you know. We had linked ourselves up with a WhatsApp group, and we were, microphones in one ear and muting and all sorts of things. It was great. It was quick. It could get quite stressful because, you know, left the microphone open, you could be in trouble. But
yeah, I did that once.
I think we held our own pretty well, collectively as a group of four.
I agree.
That's pretty interesting. Because the only sort of draft experience I've got outside of movies is fantasy sports. So I'm guessing this is 110% nothing like fantasy sports draft.
Yeah, I've never.
It depends on how serious your fantasy draft is. It was my first drafting experience. I've been around the draft room when I was with the Yankees. I've watched how those guys go about it, but and the men and women went about it. Our process was a lot smaller and probably easier to maneuver than their process was with the Yankees. They were also dealing with thousands and thousands of players. I think we were only dealing with about 300 or 400. So it was a little easier for us. And I couldn't have been more pleased with how it went. Between Craig and our coaches, it was a breeze. We were having conversations 2, 3, 4 rounds ahead of what we were going to do. And we knew exactly the next pick when we got our guy. And if somebody had snapped him up, we had a number 2 and a number 3 for that round. So we were more than prepared, I think. And it went great. I don't know if we've introduced on the air our coaches yet, Matthew. I'm not sure if that's something that you'd like us to talk about.
Yeah, please, by all means.
I'm not sure. Have you been able to see any posts on their behalf of any? No.
No.
As we stand right now, we have myself who's going to manage the team, and we have a bench coach. He's basically going to be the manager on the bench. So he's going to be my right-hand man on making a lot of decisions, taking care of what needs to get taken care of on a daily basis and things like that. But his name is Francisco Leandro. He's from Venezuela originally, but he's lived in the United States. He's married, he's got 2 kids. And him and I have known each other for a long time. Him and I have coached with the Yankees for, I think it was 5 years together before we both decided to come this way and come to Europe. He's, like I said, he's going to take care of the bench coach responsibilities. And we have a pitching coach, Travis Phelps, who's pitched in the big leagues. He's coached with the Yankees as a pitching coach amongst other organizations. And he's coached, I think it was 4 years together we coached with the Yankees, one of which we were assigned to the same affiliate. We coached the Staten Island Yankees together.
Yeah,
he was the pitching coach at that time, and I was the hitting coach at the time. So Travis and I have a really good relationship, as well as Francisco and I. And the three of us are as of now, are rounding out the coaching staff. But more news to come with the coaches as we move forward in regards to the other positions that we're going to have available.
Have you got any other league updates for us since we last spoke?
With everything that is going on right now in mainland Europe, it was announced, of course, that we had to put some certain things on hold, which I think the community is quite aware of, and so our European tryouts had to go on hold. As we stand today, with all of the rules and regulations that are going on, we now are just awaiting clarification in terms of the facilities. It looks as though the Knights team will be based this summer in Abrantes in Portugal. And that is really in order to enable things to go ahead for 2021, as was planned. Although, as Kevin alluded to earlier, you know, renewed dates haven't been discussed as yet. Things still need to be finalised. Authorities still need to be, information still needs to be given to us by authorities. So our hands are tied for certain things, but this is all about a restriction of movement and travel. And so we're going to rotate through, I think I'm right in saying, Kevin, 3 stadiums, is that correct?
Yes, three different stadiums in two different countries. Two teams are going to share a stadium. We're going to share a stadium with the team from Portugal. And, you know, there's going to be times where we'll be the home team and they'll be the visiting team and vice versa, where we'll switch. And then we will travel through the two other stadiums that'll be located both in Spain. I think one's going to be in Madrid and the other one is in Baranjo, I believe. And just to reiterate what Craig said, it's unfortunately just that's kind of the cards we're dealt right now with travel restrictions and being able to make sure we start this season this year and get things going moving forward for the 2021 season. And just kind of where we're at, and it's unfortunate, but you know, it's going to be a good thing because we get to play, and we'll sort the stuff out that needs to get sorted out before we get into England and start playing over in England. And I can't wait for that to happen. It's going to be fun, but unfortunately it's just going to have to wait a couple more months until this first season can get in the books and we can move in, settle in into England.
Awesome. So what was the, what's the day like for you leading up to the draft? I mean, you can skip breakfast and dinner. What was it like for you both? The experience?
I was really excited. Like you know, Kevin's had the opportunity to be in, you know, in a room, you know, within the Yankees organization when things are going on. For me, I remember sitting thinking, what an incredible opportunity, what an amazing situation this is that I'm about to be involved in. And so I just found it really exciting. And just trying to say to myself, you know, this is something that people generally don't get to do. You know, Kevin can talk and elaborate about this some more, but you know, we're in a huge Zoom meeting. We're all on screens. You know, and there's the league administration are there, and things are flashing up on the screen. Spreadsheets are flashing up on the screen, and it was just a really fantastic experience, and one that I have to say I personally really really enjoyed.
Yeah, it was great. It went smoothly. We had about a 30-minute break. I think once we got into like the 10th or 15th round or so, we took a little break. But you know, typically when we do a draft, everyone's in a giant room where we can all communicate, you know, face to face and things like that. And just another obstacle that this league's have had to deal with. And they came up with this idea of doing it virtually, and it was great. The league officials ran it beautifully. We were on timers, so everyone had a set time that they needed to make their selections in, and I don't think there were any issues other than having to take a quick break because it took about 4 hours, Craig?
Yeah, I think it was. Yeah, it was. The format of the evening started with the first three rounds being, we had, I think if I recall this right, Kevin, we had 5 minutes to
yes.
have 5 minute intervals with our first three draft picks, which then once those three picks were out the way, we went to increments of 1 minute windows.
Yeah.
So like Kevin was saying, we had to be so prepared about thinking ahead about, you know, 3 to 4 rounds ahead, because as Kevin also mentioned, the administrators ran it like clockwork, didn't they? I mean, they were,
yeah, they did great.
You would get the way that it would work, it would come to our pick, and somebody would announce, Knights, you're on the clock. And so the clock started. And so at that point, we had to have all our ducks in a row, because otherwise you're going to run out of time. So the latter stages of the draft were more pressurized. And as Kevin mentioned, it did go on for a long time. So as the evening went on, people were getting more and more, more and more tired.
Yeah.
So you had to keep your wits about you, but it was great fun.
Yeah, and it was super helpful to have Craig in my ear and to have Francisco and Travis in my ear too. And it was super helpful. We as a staff took every minute of every pick to discuss the next round and what and who was being selected. For instance, we had a plan going into the draft, knowing exactly who we wanted for the first three picks. We had an outline and we had backups. If our pitchers, we were going after pitchers early. I know we can talk about that later, but we wanted to go after pitchers early. We wanted to get our starting pitching in the first couple of rounds. And we were hoping to get a dominant closer in the first couple of rounds as well. And it went perfectly. It went smoothly. And during our selections, for instance, the first pick, we knew Cecilio was our first pitcher on our list. We wanted Cecilio and we wanted Leudis. So once we got called in the first round, we were the fourth pick, correct?
Yeah, we're alternating between three and four, weren't we? So
yes. So in the first round, we were the fourth pick. So they went 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And then the sixth pick got the first pick in the second round. So we ended up getting the third pick in the second round. Yeah. So we knew we were taking Cecilio. So we spent 5 minutes conversing on who we thought we would be able to draft in the second round. And thankfully, Leudis was around. And we snagged them up. And from there, I mean, it just went, it was just every single player that we wanted was available. And if they were taken, we have already discussed who the next player was going to be. I think we got into the mid to late fourth round, I believe, where we wanted to take a catcher in the fourth or fifth round. And we wanted to take a particular catcher. And we ended up getting both the catchers that we wanted, which was fantastic. And we could talk about that more later too, but it was just so nice to be able to say, Travis, who's the pitching coach, hey Travis, Leudis is available. He's our guy, confirming with you. That's who we want. Yes, Craig, yep. Francisco, yep. All right, Leudis Gomez is our next pick. And if we knew that was gonna be the case, we took more time to pick the next one. And we just tried to have fluid communication and make sure that we didn't have a pick come up that we weren't prepared to have a name for. And we had we could have probably picked for another six or seven rounds the way everybody was prepared. And it was very refreshing and it was just fantastic.
I think it said a lot, Matt, about the homework that was done as a staff. I mean, you know, in that situation, anything that we had set down within our parameters could have changed at any time. You know, we could have been all set to go and then the pick before us takes our prime target. And, you know, but it was the preparation that went into all the hard work that Kevin and the guys had done. And you know, again, we can talk about this later about having knowledge about certain players that that Kevin and the guys knew about. But it just, as Kevin said, it all just fell into place. It was just, you know, I kept thinking, hang on, we've got everybody we wanted. We've got everyone we set out to get. And I think that just spoke volumes about the work that was put in, because again, we'll talk about this, we'll touch on this a little bit later when we talk about how we viewed how other people did it. Because there were some times when there was almost some hesitancy, whereas I felt we knew exactly what we were doing. So it was all very positive.
Yeah, and just kind of to come back for the question that started my rant and what Craig just said, the beginning of the day, we had prepared, I had phoned with Francisco and Travis separately and said, all right, fellas, we have all the player names. We have all 300-400 of them. We have videos and we have the information we have. Let's dive into it, and we'll each take, you know, for instance, I started with the pitchers with Travis. I said, I'll take the first 100, you take the next 100, and, you know, we'll compare notes. And Travis went above and beyond and just went through all the pitchers. And it took him about 4 days of every single day, video, and looking up statistics on the internet, finding baseballreference.com statistics. Francisco did the same thing. And, you know, there were some draft picks that we had that we decided to select certain people based on things we saw in their video and things they've done in the past. I don't remember who it is, but I remember having a distinct conversation with Travis about a pitcher. We drafted a pitcher on one pitch. He sent a video in with one pitch. Now, we had a lot of information on him, and we'd reached out to people that have known him or seen him play. But in everyone else's eyes, if they knew him or not, they saw one pitch from him and saw how old he was and what he's and where he's played, and that was it. And we took him somewhat high because of that one pitch and because of all the work that Travis did and finding background information out. So we did that for about 4 or 5 days. And then I spoke with Travis and Francisco separately again and said, all right, now let's go through positions. I want to know your top 20 starting pitchers. I want to know your top 20 mid relievers. And I want to know your top 10 closers. And Travis broke it down even further. He broke it down into players we deemed as starters, players we deemed as piggyback starters, or guys that could go 4 or 5 innings in case a starter blew out in the first 2 innings and got shelled or something. And he gave me a list of like situational guys, guys that'll have a lot of success versus lefties or righties only for those situations that might come. And he gave me a list of setup guys and closer guys. And I was like, dude, you went above and beyond for that. And to reiterate what Craig just said, that alone, and Francisco did the same exact thing, that alone made our jobs as the front office selecting the names so much easier. And, Francisco did a great job of breaking down. I asked him, give me your top 20 outfielders. And he gave me his top 20 center fielders, left fielders, and right fielders, and outfielders who play infield as well. So it was a lot of work building up into draft day that made draft day, I think, run so smooth for us. And then I believe it was the morning of, Craig, the four of us got onto one phone call and we just kind of talked it out and said, all right, this is what I'm thinking based on what's out there. Starting pitching is going to be kind of short. There's our list, I don't think, made it to 20 true starters that we saw. This player is going to give us 5 or 6 innings of dominant baseball or give us a chance to win the game with our bullpen. I think we had 19 or 20 tops. And that we needed to get as many of those guys as we can. There was an abundance of relievers and an abundance of closers, but not starters. So we decided to go ahead and attack starting pitching right away. And I felt it very important that we address the catching situation and by the latest, the 5th round, which I believe is when we selected our first catcher. And we had a plan for if catchers got drafted in the 1st round, we had a plan for everything. And because we decided to take all that time and effort out of our days, and I mean, like Craig said, he was moving while this was happening. It was difficult to organize, but it worked out and worked out really well in our favor, I believe, for this 2021 season with everyone that we selected. And it's gone to show their communication with us and how quick and responsive they are. They're just as fired up as we are getting this thing rolling. And so we discussed everything that we needed to discuss, and it was basically sit and watch what everyone else does and stick to our plan. And I think Craig had a talk me into staying to our plan. I think we were in the third or fourth round, and I was like, man, look at all these guys that we want. They're still here. Nobody's touching them. And no, let's stick to the plan. The plan's going to work. Let's stick to it. And it worked, and it worked out really well in our favor and in our opinion too.
Yeah. From what I can see from the picks you made as well. I mean, talking about Luis Gomez, who you took in second overall pick, was the fact that is he going to be your Ichiro, you know, with him having over 500 at bats? Is that anything that played part in his selection as well, or do you think he's just going to be used for his pitching tools?
He's coming in to he'll most likely be one of our first or second starters. That's what I see Leodis coming in as, and Cecilio. Those two guys are going to be our one and two punches. We took Cecilio first because to have a left-handed thrower with the type of velocity that he has and the success that he's had, I don't think there was any other lefty starting pitchers with his velocity available. And we decided to go with Cecilio. Not to say that Leodis isn't as good, if not better. Leodis is a really, really good right-handed pitcher, and I believe he's been in the Mexican League for a number of years and has put up some really good numbers there. Yeah. And both of them bring in a veteran type. They're both veterans. You know, they've been around for a while. They've both played professionally with affiliated baseball as well as international baseball. And we're hoping that these two guys can kind of help lead with the other veteran guys that we selected, kind of just help lead the young guys and lead the staff to being a dominant force, because they have the ability to. Yohendy Jimenean as well has the ability to come in and dominate as well. I mean, he's another guy that I fully expect to be one of our starters and come in and have success right away for us. And he's another veteran player who I think between those three guys, I mean, they're going to lead us on and off the field. That's kind of what we're expecting out of them. And as far as Leodis having at bats, who knows if that'll come into play or not. I don't know, but that's something that is that we know of and is in the back of our minds when we go into these games, and it'll probably get brought up. I'm sure there'll be a situation where you just run out of players sometimes, or you run out of pitching for that night, and or you need to stick somebody out in the outfield or for whatever reason. So it's good to know that wasn't why we picked them, but it's, you know, that's always good to have some type of versatility. I'm a big versatility guy, which you'll see when you go down to the outfield and infield selections, as well as our catchers.
Thanks, Kevin. I mean, when you think, I mean, when you talk about veterans, I mean, I'm a veteran. Lurie is 34 years of age. You know, he's you know, those three guys. When you look at their careers as it stands, I mean, we're looking at guys there with 8 seasons of AAA experience between them. And I think that from what I've seen and especially from Lurie and him and I have made contact via media. I think I'm really excited about what I see from him, because he does look incredibly strong. Having said that, Cecilio's the same as you rightly say. These guys have been around, and they know what to do. They know the game, and they've got some serious experience under their belt. So I'm hoping that 1, 2, and 3, absolutely fantastic and incredibly strong.
I've noticed as well, like, we're talking about the catchers. Both the catchers have been part of the Yankees organization in the past. Kevin, were you aware of them before you entered the draft, or was it scouting that you relied on? Because I know there's a few more Yankees former prospects in the mix as well.
Yes, I know both of those players very well. I've coached both of them. I've seen them play. I know a lot about these two catchers. We initially had targeted a catcher who had big league experience that I actually, this might show my age, but him and I played together when we were in rookie ball. Fortunately for him, but unfortunately for us, he ended up signing a minor league contract with a spring training invite to go and play in the United States. And you know, unfortunately for us, I say, because I'm thrilled for him, because he's got yet another opportunity to make it back to the big leagues and catch. And he's a fantastic player. But once he was out of the question, I knew that Eduardo Navas or Jerry Saitz, one of them was going to be our catcher, period. That wasn't even a question in my mind. I told Travis has experience with both of those catchers, and he was excited when they were both on the list. And Francisco coached Eduardo Navas, I think, for 2 years in Charleston at the Charleston low A affiliate with the Yankees. And the three of us know him. He's a wonderful kid, and he's an excellent catcher. He can block, he can throw, he can call a game. And to make things even sweeter, he's bilingual. He speaks English and Spanish. So he's going to be super helpful with being able to have conversations on the mounds if Francisco's not allowed to come out and help us with the translation. Francisco's bilingual as well. But if we're having any translation issues, Navi's going to help us out as well as Jerry. They're both very, very good with English. They might even have played with some of these players in winter ball down in Venezuela or the DR, wherever they might have played in the winter ball. So when we were able to grab Navas and Jerry was there, I think it was, what, two rounds later, Craig, that we took Jerry?
We took Navas in round 5, didn't we, I think?
Yeah, we took Navas early because I was not letting him go. The 1-2 punch of them, Navas is they're both fantastic behind the plate. Jerry's can catch and throw and block with the best of them. And Jerry he's got a little thump in his bat too. They both could hit homers, but Jerry's got some more pop. Navas played, I think, 3 or 4 years in Charleston, and I was a left-handed hitter, and Navas is a left-handed hitter. It's not an easy park to hit in, and the wind blows in every single night from right field at about 20 miles per hour, and it's not easy to hit homers there. And I think he still managed to get a couple while he was there, and not the everyday catcher. So, you know, they both bring, we've drafted them both based on what we knew they were going to give us behind the dish. And Jerry is more than likely going to see some at-bats, probably at first base and DH too, depending on the DH rules and things of that matter, where if we can have him come off the DH and do a double switch to where Jerry could catch if Navas needs to come out for whatever reason, tough lefty or something. So but we have a lot of flexibility with our catchers because they both can start in this league and perform at this league. And I was thrilled to be able to get both of them, let alone just one of them. So I'm very happy with that. And to have the experience I have with the two of them made it even more of an easier decision for us, because we know exactly what we're getting out of them. They're going to work their butts off. They're going to give everything they have, and they're going to do anything they can to help their teammates. And that's something that I believe we discussed on the previous podcast, that team first guys is who we are after. And both of these guys are team first guys. And to have that behind the plate is invaluable, in my opinion.
And did you have being bilingual as something that you looked at as well, as all the numbers and stats and the figures? How important was the language barrier when it came down to your draft selections?
It played a role to some degree. We weren't looking at two players and going, this player can speak English, so we're going to take him. That wasn't the case. I don't care if these players can't speak English. I don't. We will find a way to give them the information they need to perform, and we will find a way to get what the information they need from us to them. There's, in my mind, if I need to go and spend a couple $100 and continue working on my Spanish, which is okay, not great, I'll be able to communicate with all of these guys on the field. Talking about passports and visas and things like that, no chance. But in terms of baseball, I'll more than confident I can speak with them and understand what they're trying to say, as well as they'll probably understand me better than I understand them. But it didn't matter. We're going to find a way to make it happen. If I need to send Francisco out there instead of myself to make sure we're on the same page, we'll figure it out. I'm not worried about that at all. We're after talent, and we were after character players. And that's really what kind of rounded out a lot of our selections. Where you might be as good as this player, but we might have had a discussion with somebody and just really liked what they heard. And not to take anything away from the other player we didn't select, they could be just as a quality character player as the one we selected, but we knew, as opposed to hoping, and we wanted to make sure we selected the team first guys.
That's interesting, because some of the stuff that I've seen, and as well, there are some exciting characters that you have selected as well as the talent. Who do you think are the marquee signings, and who are the players you think the British baseball public will be excited to see?
That's a great question. When you say marquee, what do you mean by marquee? I have an idea. I just want to be clear on what marquee means.
Well, who do you think is like the cherry on top of the cake? I suppose a question I could have asked first beforehand is how were the draft selections planned out? Because like if it was a fantasy sport, you know who your first round players are, because you've got like 12 of the best that are out there, and then it goes down into sort of tier. Was it just a case of it was like all names on a spreadsheet and you highlighted who you want, or did you have it set out into tiers?
So we had a giant spreadsheet of our, I called it my short list. It was the list of players that we want. And if they weren't on that list, we didn't take them. We didn't select them. And if they were on that list and available, we had them ranked one to whatever. And we kind of started from the top and worked our way down. And, from there, it's hard to say who to be excited about because of how quality this roster is top to bottom. But I would have to say that those three players that we named earlier, the three first picks, Cecilio, Leodis, and Yohendi, those guys have AAA experience and a lot of it. And they got guys out in AAA. So I'm excited for every single one on this roster. I can't wait to see them all play. I think everyone will be really excited for the Knights, but If you were to ask me that question 100 times, I'd probably just lean towards our veteran pitchers. Pedro Fernandez falls into that category. He's an electric closer. He's probably going to be our closer, or, you know, late game guy, depending on situations and things like that. But he's another arm that's electric. We have a couple of young arms in the mix that have thrown and touched mid to upper 90s recently. So, you know, it's hard to just say this guy, because there's just the roster's kind of oozing with talent, and it's really hard to just pick one or two guys out. But just having a AAA experience, I think that's the most exciting for people that haven't been able to see that with their own eyes yet, if they haven't.
Which is the correct answer? You get 10 points. you mentioned before as well that you managed to land like pretty much everyone that you had on your target, all your targets on your spreadsheet. Were there any that you missed out on, or any that you sniped, or vice versa? Did you get any messages from the other managers going, "Oh, I really wanted that player, and you got him like a pick before me"?
There wasn't much of that discussion going on, just because we only had about 60 seconds to make our picks. And if you didn't make your selection in 60 seconds, the next team could select before you got to select. So we didn't really get to have that type of talk. And by the end of it, I think we were all, just like, "Whoa, that went fast," but it didn't. So, you know, we didn't get a chance to have that friendly banter, but, we had made some selections that just unfortunately we couldn't get 100% committed to come, whether it was because of a previous engagement or a better opportunity somewhere else that they thought was better. We had a middle infielder, I won't say his name, but we were really, really excited about him. Probably one of the fastest players I've ever seen play baseball. And that includes a couple guys that are in the big leagues. Wow. We were really, really excited about him. And just unfortunately, we just couldn't come to an agreement to allow both parties to be satisfied. And, you know, we had to part ways. And you know, it's part of baseball, though. It's part of professional baseball and dealing with contracts and dealing with international paperwork and things like that. Sometimes you just can't do it. And unfortunately, we couldn't do it for him. And really, that was the only one. I think we had another guy that ended up being injured. And he had to shut down, and, you know, he won't be joining us, but that's really it. I mean, we nailed the roster pretty quickly, and we had to make some changes, but, you know, the guys that we had prepared to fill in, you know, the opportunity arise, they were all on our short list as well. So we really made out, in my opinion, and top to bottom. So
that's cool. Two players as well that you picked up, which I think look quite interesting, are Alex Jr. and Joseph Monge. Is it Monge?
Joseph Mohi. He's Yes, he's a he's from Puerto Rico, and Alex Jr. is from Nashville, Tennessee. I know Alex Jr. very well. I coached him for, not directly on his affiliate, but I think it was 2 years that him and I have experience together while I was coaching the outfielders, which he is. And between Joseph, Alex, and Jonathan Reynoso, who's our third outfielder, the three of them can play center field, the three of them can play left, and three of them can play right. So I'm really excited about all three of them. And just Jonathan Reynoso, I coached against him when he was with the Cincinnati Reds. And I liked what I saw when I saw him there. So, those three guys I'm really excited to have out there, because in my opinion, just knowing what I know about the three of them, fly balls are going to be outs, and our pitchers are going to be really happy to have them. And because I know I am.
You think Reynoso will be the centre fielder considering he's the Reds, and you've got a former Yankee and a former Red Sox on either side of him? Or do you think that do you not think that'll be an issue?
Joseph's a little bit older as well, a little bit more experience. It's got some double A ball experience, got a couple of seasons in double A, as has Jonathan. So again, I think from an outfield perspective, those picks were really positive. The guy that shall remain nameless, who Kevin was talking about as a middle infielder, also played the outfield. So it was important that and with the kind of speed that he has, it was important to make sure that we replaced him, and we replaced him well. And so those three guys, I think, were good, strong choices.
So with the sort of the gaps that are left within the roster to fill, what sort of players will be looking for in the European draft when it eventually goes ahead?
Great question. We are going to have some more conversations as a staff about that. It just kind of depends on making sure that everyone's 100% confirmed that everyone will be there. We're still working through some stuff that needs to solidify everyone being on a plane and getting to Europe to be able to play. But if I expect all of our players, their paperwork is in line and stuff. So I expect all 18 of these guys to come, and we're gonna need some more help on both sides. We only have three infielders and three outfielders on our roster, so that is an immediate need for another infielder. We're gonna need a utility infielder to be able to play around and move around and give guys some days off when needed. We're gonna need another outfielder, and we're gonna have a DH, so we're gonna need another player to be able to hit in the DH spot. To give, an opportunity for the other players that aren't playing every day to get some at-bats as well and to take a load off their feet for a day. We have 2, 4, 6, 8, 10 pitchers. I don't think 10's enough. So I would look to be adding at least 6 more players, probably 3 pitchers, 3 position players, could be 4 pitchers, 2 position players. But it just kind of depends on what's available once we get to Europe and we watch the workouts, who impresses us.
Not right now, do we? I mean, we're in a, we're kind of playing a waiting game now, because it may well be that, because they're, it doesn't mean to say they're going to be European guys, they're European based, but it doesn't mean to say that Kevin or Travis or Francisco won't necessarily, they might know some of these guys. And so it's a bit of a waiting game to see what we're presented with, really.
Yes.
That's cool. The draft is all complete. Any of the players that you want to mention before we move on to the next bit?
Well, the international portion of the draft is complete. So we'll eventually get to the European portion, but I'd be happy if you want Craig and I to run through the entire current roster. We left some names out and that we're excited about. So I don't mind if you want us to run through the entire roster, just so everyone hears the names and mm-hmm. Whoever would like to do some research on their own, they can research some of these guys and get excited about them too.
Well, I've got my spreadsheet that I was showing off before. Scrolls down a bit as well.
It's important to point out, Matt, that when you look at the breakdown of and this is just only a small breakdown of the 18 guys that we've drafted so far. Five of our guys have got 11 seasons of AAA experience. 9 of our guys combined have 18 seasons of AA experience. So you know, there's lots for people to get excited about. And I think it's really important to make that point. You know, whatever, I feel that whatever we add to this is only going to make us stronger. But it's, yeah, I think it's important. Kevin's right. It's important that everybody gets a mention, and these are names that people can just start to, you know, do like Kevin said, do their own research, have a look at these guys. You know, there's videos out there to be seen. Like I'll go back to Jeffrey, you know, take a look at that Frisbee slider, right? You're not going to get anywhere near it. Simple as.
That's awesome. Yeah. So do you want to give us a recap then of the roster for who you've got on board at the moment?
Yeah, sure. Craig, do you want to run through the pitchers and I'll run through the position players?
Yeah, sure. And let's just, should we work on pronunciation here or what?
I'll help you out. If needed.
So as we've already mentioned Cecilio as a left-handed starter, Luis Gomez and Yohendi Jimenean. We also have a couple of younger guys. So Jeffrey Nino, right-handed rookie pitcher. Luis Rico, who has a double-A experience, a left-handed guy. Kevin also mentioned Pedro Fernandez, right-handed pitcher, Dominican guy with triple-A experience. I think he's one to look at. One that I think deserves a real mention, Kevin. You, I'm surely agree with this. I'm really keen to see how this guy develops. Yudi Garcia, Pirates guy, 3 years in Double A.
Yep, really excited about him.
I mean, and he's a big unit, isn't he?
He's a big boy.
220 pounds. He's a big boy.
Yeah, 6'2" as well. He's got some impressive numbers to back it up as well.
Yeah. So I think, you know, that's a name to watch out for. Luis Valdez, that's interesting, you know, throwing hard.
Hard throwing young player.
So, you know, very, very interesting. Somebody else didn't get mentioned with double A experience. Silfredo Garcia, right-handed pitcher, Venezuelan descent from the Cardinals organization. I think he's going to be interesting. And then another young guy who I believe, Kevin, off the top of my head, was with the Washington Nationals, Abraham Geraldo.
Yep, Abraham Geraldo. He was with the Nationals for some time. Young right-handed pitcher, throw some gas. You know, Travis is going to be really happy when he sees our guys in action, and he's going to have a lot of talent to work with. So, but yeah, our pitching staff is really nice to look at. You know, you look at just the bodies on these guys are strong. And then you kind of see the video of them throwing and you see their arm actions and you see how their ball moves. And I think we pieced together we've pieced together a staff that meshes really well, that can go through a game really well and start to finish, kind of just be very fluid. But it also gives these the opposing teams different looks. You know, we're not just bringing in four right-handed starters with the same arm action. There's a couple guys that have some what I would call is like funk in their arm, or in their windup or their delivery. You know, just a different, you know, whether it's a head jerk or an arm angle or something of that matter, that will throw guys off and just be different. So, you know, we might have five or six guys throwing 95 plus, but they're not coming from the same arm slot and they're not moving the same way. And it's going to be a pain.
See if you can get the slowed down video of Jeffrey pitching. Nicknamed. I'm not that might give it away.
Yeah, so that rounds out the staff. our position players, we stand right now. We spoke about Eduardo Navas and Jerry Saitz, both catchers. Our infielders, we are sitting at Asdrubal Alvarez, who's a former Yankees, young player, middle infielder. Alexis Infante, another infielder that probably plays all three on the left side, second, short, and third. And Fidel Almario, who's got, from what we've seen, really good hands up the middle. I can't tell you who's going to play where. I have a feeling we're going to kind of rotate around for the first couple of series and see kind of just where, who meshes with who up the middle, who meshes on the left side better, and who can play some first, depending on what we can continue to get. And then our outfielders, who we discussed, Yosef Monge, Alex Jr., and Jonathan Reynoso, all three can play all three. And I mean, what better position to be as a manager to have three center fielders running around your outfield. So those three guys we're really excited to have. And that kind of rounds us out as a complete roster for now. It's not a complete roster, but just for the international portion of it. And we're really excited to fill in some pieces where we need. And, like Craig mentioned before, there are some players over there that we are aware of that we've either seen in affiliated baseball, or Craig has some experience with some of these guys and some of the other coaches, discussions with other people and coaches that we've been hearing some names to look out for. So hopefully when we get that done, we'll see these guys and we'll round this roster out and be a force to reckon with in 2021.
Yeah, indeed. Did at any point it sort of come across your mind how important this initial draft would be, with it being a brand new franchise and the initial draft? Or did at any point you have like a, just like a random sleepless night, or that, or were you just cool and calm all the way through and just be like business as usual?
For me, I am going to be cool and calm because the start of this roster is really strong. We still need help, but I'm confident that between the information Craig has and the information that we've all shared together and we'll continue to share moving forward, I don't see us having to worry too much. I know when I need some information from somebody, I'm getting more than quality information, and vice versa. If Craig needs information from me or the other coaches, we're all on point right now with what we're seeing and what we're talking about. So I think it's just going to be business as usual. Building up to this portion of the draft, I don't think I slept all week, but that was mainly because I was watching 100 to 150 videos every day, all day and night, making sure that I gave every video and every player that I saw an opportunity to surprise us or show us what they got, and to take every pick as if, or every player as if they're going to be our first pick. And kind of go from there. So from here on out, I've been sleeping well, and I'm more excited and restless about the season starting than anything else. So,
do you know how I know that you drafted well? Apart from your time that you drafted well, every time you've mentioned one of your players, you've had the biggest smile on your face when you're talking about
them. Well, I'm excited about them. I don't know what else to say. They have a lot of talent, and all these guys were on the top of our short list, and we got them. And it's reassuring to know that the players that we got are the guys we wanted. And we'll just see how we play out with the other teams and see how we play out for the season.
Awesome. So when the draft was finished,
you think we're happy, Matt? You want to wait? Oh, I was just about to say, you think we're happy? Wait till you see Alex Jr., the smiliest kid in baseball.
He's got one of the best smiles in baseball.
Man, yeah. he is the smiliest kid in baseball.
He's a wonderful person too. I'm thrilled to have him.
Saw an interview with him on Pinstripe. What's it called?
Pinstripe Plus. Yep.
Yes.
Pinstripe Plus.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. Which is why I think the chemistry that, of the players that you've got, from what I've been able to see, it just looks really exciting. It does. It looks top.
He's a great kid. I've done nothing but enjoy being around him as a coach and had fun watching him play. And the fact that we were able to get him is, I'm thrilled. I'm thrilled because he's going to be a great piece to the roster, and he's going to be a very important part of our team.
That's cool. So after the draft was completed, what was it like afterwards when the dust had settled? Did you guys just stay on and have a chat afterwards, or is it like, well, we've got to go and have my tea? Was it an interesting chat afterwards?
I think we were all kind of beat. I know I was beat. It was late in the day for you, Craig, right?
It was late for me, but it was just mentally challenging. That's all. It was about keeping our focus. And I want to go back to something that Kevin said earlier that I think was a really important point. As a staff, I think we're extremely coherent, all on the same page, and I think that bodes very, very well going forward. And yet, you know, it's like anything. It's when you're putting a team together, you know, it doesn't matter what sport you're in and if you want to do well. Sometimes you can have collectively the best talent available, but if the stars don't align and it all doesn't come together as a team, then you know, you haven't got a hope in hell. Doesn't matter how good people are. So from what I see and from the work that we're doing as a group, I think it's all very positive. But at the end of that particular day, I think we were nothing but pleased. Kevin, probably fair to say that we couldn't possibly believe that we got most of what we wanted. I don't know.
I was very jittery. I was like a kid in a candy shop, excited. I was scratching my head when we were making our final selections. Like, wow, we got this guy this late. This is unbelievable. And we were just thrilled. Travis was ecstatic when he saw the list of names, the final list of names, and Francisco was excited too. It's like, other than like maybe three or four players, we got everyone we wanted. And it was just, I think I had a nice beer afterwards to celebrate, because I was like, I'm so excited about this. Like, this is obviously, we have a ton of steps to move forward. And at the time there was a ton of steps to move forward, and we're still moving forward, but I was just jittery happy.
I think it's such a massive advantage, Matt, that Kevin and Travis and Francisco have worked with a number of the guys. That makes so much difference to the group, and that I think is hugely important. And I think that stands us in really good stead.
Awesome. Well, that brings us to the end of my questions. Thank you both again for your time from out your busy days. Really appreciate this recap and a fantastic insight into a draft room and how initial draft is done. Fascinating stuff. As always, last word goes to the guests. So, Craig, Kevin, anything you want to say before we part ways?
Well, we'll be back and we'll talk about the European draft when we're able to do so. Just to give everybody a heads up on exactly what's happening.
Perfect. Kevin?
No, I'm just really excited to keep going forward. We're getting close to having this whole thing come to fruition and have first pitch. And I'm just very excited. I hope everyone's excited. I know the change for 2021 to being in a Barrantes isn't ideal for everyone, but it gives us a chance to play, and it gives England a chance to see their team compete. And you know, we'll continue to move forward, and we will be in England sooner rather than later. So I'm very, very happy and pleased with where we're at now, and we'll continue to move forward.
Excellent. Lovely stuff. Gentlemen, thank you again for your time as always, and I look forward to catching up with you after the European draft.
Thanks, Matthew. Appreciate it.